listen to. The next guest we have is Brian Mazzaferri from I Fight Dragons. Please correct me if I pronounce your name wrong.
That's it.
Nice.
I have a manila folder with the printed story, so it will not be as animated, but I will raise up the stand. Hey, guys. That was awesome. I Fight Dragons. We're a chiptune rock band of sorts, Chicago-based. We've been around about 5 years, play around the city. We did a Kickstarter last year for our latest album. We were on a major label, got off of that, did the theme song for the Goldbergs. That's kind of a...
Woo!
Yeah! That guy likes network TV. It's only one of you in here. Dang it. Me too. Actually, I really love the show. Actually, it happened because Adam Goldberg, the creator of the show, was a Kickstarter backer of ours. So you never know how things are going to happen. Speaking of which, when we were asked to be a guest here, I tried to think of what story summed up Apocalypse from my point of view. I was talking with Bill, another one of our band members you'll hear from later in the night. And I hadn't told him what I was going to tell a story about, but as soon as we walked in today, I was like, hey, what are you going to... And I told him what I was going to tell a story about, and he was like, yeah, I was pretty sure that's where you were going. It all started when I Fight Dragons was looking for our first touring vehicle. We were down in rural Illinois, and we were checking out a 1979 Argosy Airstream RV. Yeah. It was a beautiful RV with aftermarket hardwood flooring, 70s-style captain's chairs, and a full kitchenette. Its sleek curves and trademark Airstream contours made us feel like we were buying some sort of bullet-shaped superhero team vehicle, like the X-Men's Blackbird or the Avengers Quinjet, designed to blast us across the country on our first national tour, which was, after all, only a few months away at the time. It also had horse-themed curtains, blankets, and upholstery, since its current owners primarily used it to travel to and from horse shows. But ultimately, that was not a driving factor in our purchasing decision. Now, for those of you who might not be in a band, I want to take a tiny detour here and let you in on a piece of wisdom passed down from band to band since time immemorial. And that piece of wisdom is this: never buy an RV. They sound like a good idea at the time. You think you can save money on hotels, cook all your own meals, but it always ends in disaster. So thankfully, I was already well aware of this particular bit of wisdom at the time. But I really wanted to own the I Fight Dragons equivalent of a turtle van. So we slapped on several $1,000s and purchased a 1979 Argosy Airstream RV, which we immediately dubbed the Dragon Wagon. That fall, we were booked to go on our first national tour, opening for MC Chris. But several weeks before that, we had booked a gig playing Dragon Con in Atlanta. And we thought we'd use the opportunity to take the Dragon Wagon on its maiden voyage and document the whole thing in a series of live vid blogs uploaded directly to YouTube from Bill's new iPhone 3GS, which was pretty cutting-edge technology at the time, in contrast to everything else having to do in any way with our 1979 Argosy Airstream RV. The journey started off well, with the small caveat that none of the electrical outlets worked in the RV. But after a brief 2-hour hiatus at Pep Boys, we were back on the road with no electricity. The next 7 hours of driving went pretty smoothly, or as smoothly as they could go, considering we were riding in a 1979 Argosy Airstream RV, which likely still had the original shocks. Then, just outside Murfreesboro, Tennessee, well past midnight, the lights began to flicker. It was just barely noticeable at first, just a slight dimming that soon returned to normal. Then the dimming started becoming more frequent, The light's not quite recovering to normal. And within 10 minutes, we found ourselves trapped in front of a Tennessee hotel with the RV refusing to start and bubbling engine coolant all over the parking lot. The night desk attendant at the hotel wasn't super happy with the broken RV blocking down his or blocking his entrance, but I think he either took pity on us or looked directly into my eyes and saw just how close I was to a complete psychotic break in which he was guaranteed to be the first victim, and he found us a room, despite there being none officially available. So my bandmates were soon fast asleep, but I don't remember being able to close my eyes once the entire night. It felt like the end of the world. Not only was our RV, new shiny RV, new old shiny RV, broken down in the middle of Tennessee on Labor Day weekend. Did I mention it was Labor Day weekend? Not only did we have a show we had to get to in Atlanta with a trailer full of gear and no way to get there, to top it all off, we were supposed to leave on a national tour, our first national tour, in just a few weeks. And we had pooled all of our money together and spent it on my vision of our superhero jet, currently bubbling engine coolant all over the hotel parking lot in the middle of Tennessee. This was on me. I had stepped up and said, "Follow me," and miraculously they had, and I had blown it. Big time. I remember pacing up and down the hotel hallways all night, too tired to think clearly, but too restless to lie down. But, you know what? It wasn't the end of the world. Sun came up, and I called every repair shop in a 50-mile radius until I found the one company with a big enough tow truck willing to come tow our RV to their lot and work on it on Labor Day weekend. I called every car rental place in a 100-mile radius till I finally found the one company that would rent us a van and let us tow our trailer. And we drove that rented van the rest of the way to Atlanta, and even made it there in time to spend a full day enjoying Dragon Con and playing the show that night. Chad, the drummer, and I stayed behind an extra day in Murfreesboro on the way back to wait for the RV to be fixed while we sent everyone else home in a one-way SUV rental. And later on, I was even able to sell the RV to someone with far less ambitious plans for it. So I hadn't lost all the money, just a pretty big chunk of it. And with our manager's help, we found a vehicle to rent for that fall that was actually designed for touring, which we, of course, dubbed the Dragon Wagon 2.0. Now, 5 years later, iFi Dragons has done tours in everything from a 15-passenger van to a full-on tour bus, and we've gotten in some pretty hairy spots over the course of those collective 70,000 or so miles. But every time something crazy happens, as it seems to with surprising regularity, I find myself flashing back to that night in the middle of Tennessee when I thought that the world was ending. And I remember that it didn't end. I picked myself up and I just kept working my ass off and doing the best I could with whatever crazy situation that I had gotten us all into. And I remember something Chad said to me while he and I were walking down the side of a Murfreesboro highway from the cheapest hotel we could find to the sketchiest vehicle repair lot I have ever had the privilege of encountering before or since. "Cheer up, dude," he told me. "We're going on a damn national tour this fall. This is our dream. We're living it. Plus, as crazy as this all seems now, I bet one day this is going to make an awesome story." Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian. Oh, I also, I should have said earlier on when we wrapped Brian up that he, I have him credited on here as lead vocals and Game Boy programmer of iFi Dragons.